B-Pod Studios.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
But you're rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Cleveland by 7 on the ball, and they'll run some clock here, taking under 2 minutes remaining right now. Sexton. Challenged by Tatum. Push pass underneath. Nance muscles his way in front and scores on Tice.
Daniel Tyson's had an invisible game today, too.
Adam Jones wants to go on right now. Let me go on right now, please.
There's times in that first half where we certainly were shoulders slumped, not what we needed to be able to withstand that kind of a run.
.85 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The Celtics fell last night to Cleveland. Back-to-back games they had. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for your Boston Celtics. He's kind enough every week at this time to join us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Danny Ainge, hello, sir.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm surrounded by my baseball cards. I'm just counting my retirement money in cardboard form right now, my friend.
Isn't it amazing at what's happened to the baseball card industry?
It is, because I, with my son, started like 4 years ago buying cards. But then when COVID hit, I thought I was unique in that I started like buying and selling cards. And then I realized, oh, everyone's doing this. We're all the same. We're all trapped in going back to something that makes us feel a little nostalgic. So but now I have money. So now I'm spending far, far too much money and losing money on this enterprise. But it is what it is. It's better than the alternative, I suppose. I could be doing worse stuff.
And what about these hot shot videos?
That is
the worst.
Explain that to me. You explain how that works to me, because Rich and I cannot make heads or tails of this. I don't understand why you would buy something that exists. It just video exists, and it exists in the if I own a baseball card, if I own a Mickey Mantle rookie card, it's a 10. It's been graded a 10. I know for a fact there's two or three out there. They know how many are out there. So I know I tangibly hold something that there are only three of. Now, its worth is dependent on the market, but I know no matter what, I have one of three. A video can exist anywhere. So you explain that to me. Do you understand it?
Well, I mean, I understand it a little. They put out as many as 10,000 video clips only. They give you a code, so there's only your number 01 to 10,000, or in some cases, I think they give out 35,000 of them. And based on your number, there's the value of that video, and you own it. And you can sell it, just like a trading card. You can sell it. People are looking for it. I saw a Jason Tatum video of a step back three against Paul George. I think went for like 40 or 50 grand.
Jesus.
I mean, it's just insane.
Well, there was just the rights to that video, though. Like, aren't these videos that were broadcast on TV?
Yes.
So the NBA owns their rights, and they are able to give the rights to the business, that this top card company that will then give them to the individuals, and they own those videos.
Well, Christie's just did an art auction. Hang on, Christie's just did an art auction, and it's one of three artists that have made this certain amount of money, and the auction was completely digital. This artist was giving up the works were digital, so they weren't even tangible pieces of art that you could hang in your home. So this is not only an NBA thing. This is not only a sports thing.
Oh yeah,
this is big money now in the art world. I'm old school. I don't care for that stuff.
No, it's not my world, that's for sure.
Well, Danny, Fred and I every once in a while will have one of our bobbleheads pop up on eBay, and it'll be like for $14. And, you know, to be quite honest, that's probably about what it should be worth. Do you ever, just to see, Google how much Danny Ainge memorabilia is going for on the market?
No, I never have. But, it was interesting because somebody sent me a text, maybe a month ago. And it was when I first started hearing this sports card craze coming back. I mean, people my age were like going into their basement for their childhood savings and digging them out of the basement, all the cards they used to keep. And there was this Celtics rookie card, 1986, that went for like $1,200. I mean, I've signed thousands of those cards for fans and for people that have sent them to me. It's like, I'm just shocked. I mean, now some are still only worth a nickel or not very much, but there are some kinds and some years and a certain company that they have great value. And I just, I'm just shocked by it all.
You have a package coming to Brighton that doesn't have a return address on it, so it just has a bunch of things to sign. Don't worry about it. Just return them where they belong.
Yeah.
I'm looking right now, a 1986 Fleer 4 Danny Ainge PSA Gem Mint 10. They're asking $2,500 on eBay for that.
Ooh, that's not bad.
Well, they haven't gotten $2,500. They're asking for $2,500. Now, there's a signed one for $999. At 99 cents.
How much is Tree Rollins is going for?
I will look.
Is there a picture of that fuck somewhere on a card? It'd be great. Who's worth more?
Tree Rollins. A lot of stuff that isn't Tree Rollins is popping up.
Okay,
like
all right.
You can buy his game used white warm up jacket for $6.99. So Danny Ainge, a card worth more than an actual warm up jacket worn by Tree Rollins. Mm-hmm. Tree Rollins must be in some financial problems because that's only something Tree Rollins could put up on eBay. Danny, you're better than Tree Rollins. It so says the open market. So there you go. Your memorabilia is worth more.
Now I feel better.
Yes.
Good. Well, Danny, this has obviously been a really strange season, and we've talked a lot about the trade deadline, which is now like a week away, and the decisions that you may have to make, and all the rumors. How do you judge, Danny? Because we've talked about whether you spend the trade exception before the deadline or you wait until the off season and hopefully get more value out of it. How do you judge whether a team is worth investing in midseason or not?
Well, I'm around the team a lot. So I just – and I'm watching the same games that you guys are watching. And – well, I should say same games Rich is watching.
I watched the game. I watched the game last night.
Oh, Fred, that's
stop
great.
It. Stop it. I watched it, and I'll tell you what, Robert. I did watch. I told you I watched
yes,
Robert
you
Williams. I told you he's the only one hustling on defense.
You did,
and it showed the lack of hustle from everyone else. I watched the Utah game. I watched the game last night. Get out of here, both. All three of you, get out of here. By the way, your sophomore yearbook is going for $249.
Wow. That's creepy.
I'm not lying.
All right.
Your sophomore yearbook is available for sale. Celebrity high. Oh, no, that's but it is. You have
all
a mop
so
top.
So you're watching the same games as all of us are watching. Yes.
The same games all of you guys are watching and just trying to make it and trying to figure out who we are and how good we are. And what we need, and those are, it's been a challenging year, like you said. It's been. This one, I think things are, and I don't base it just on wins and losses. There's some, part of our four game win streak right before the break was good for us. We needed it for morale, but they weren't great wins. We didn't play great. I've said this before, but I feel like there's parts of games where we play well in most games, and it's just how long of that part is. Is it a quarter? Is it a half? Is it three quarters? But we've struggled to close out games, and we've struggled with consistency. And I think that, you hear me talk a lot about resolve, and it seems like we don't have a lot of characteristics of a really good team, for sure. We have some talented guys, and our team right now is not playing as well as that we had hoped.
You see, I think it's almost like the worst combo right now, Danny. It's that they're not good enough to close out against good teams, and they don't respect enough bad teams that get in here. And that is never been more apparent than like what you saw yesterday, these slow starts against inferior opponents. How do you change the chemistry of this team? Because now we've seen enough of a sample size to realize that this is just who they are now.
Yeah, well, I mean, because we have, like I said, it's so disjointed this year. When you have one of your main guys, your main ball handler, who doesn't play the second night of a back-to-back, I mean, it changes who you are just with that change. You take a main guy out, and your team is not always the same. You know, unless you're a really, really good team and a really deep team, you can overcome some of that. But obviously, we haven't proven to be that. But I think I would say the same thing, especially about last night's game. That was and again, I would say last night there were moments that were great, and then there was, I wouldn't say they weren't ready to play early. I just felt like the second quarter in particular, we just didn't have the resolve to continue to fight defensively when things weren't going our way. And, you know, they were playing well. They came out and really wanted to win on their home court, and you know, we just didn't make shots. Like, it wasn't that we weren't playing hard defense and making it difficult for them. And then the defense lets up when we don't make shots. And I think that is a sign of a very young team.
Where does that resolve come from, Danny? Is it more expected out of Brad? Is it a leadership with Jason Tatum? Where do you find that?
I think that it comes from within. I think it comes each individual, you know, like there's a lot of guys that, and another thing I will say that sometimes that resolve comes from your crowd, you know, like your crowd cheers you on and keeps you in the game. And
damn, stop you. I can't use that excuse because the entire league.
I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm saying that sometimes that's where it is. Like, that's why home court teams typically win more than on the road. Is I think that sometimes your crowd gets you through a tough time, but it's not an excuse. Every team has it. Although lately we've been playing in arenas on the road with fans and at home with no fans. That's
like
not
2,000 people, Danny. I mean, you can't say that there's like, you know, they're being intimidated by 14 guys in section 3. I mean, if that's the case, then this team's got more problems than we thought.
Yeah. So not an excuse. You just said, where do you find the resolve from? I'm saying the resolve sometimes comes from your crowd, but internally it has to come in. Like, it has to come collectively as a group. It's not the coach. It's the players. It's you can see the body language is not the same when you're making shots versus when you're missing shots. And, when you're not making shots, your defense has to be better than when you're not making shots, not worse. And I think that there's some good things. Like, you guys mentioned Robert Williams. Like, he stands out because he's so athletic and he's playing with such a motor. I mean, Rob is trying to inspire us with his defense and his energy. He's getting an opportunity to play, and he's trying to make the most of it, and he's making a strong, strong impression and trying to get his teammates to play with the same kind of intensity.
And I agree. I mean, I think we're all big fans of what he's done. I mean, leaps and bounds this season. He's obviously begging for more minutes. And we'll get to Robert Williams in a second, but, you know, you're talking about this team. It's weird when Kemba's not in there. And it's a testament to Kemba's value, because you're exactly right. Is this just the way it's going to be with Kemba all year long? I mean, he's only 30, and there have been players who have had what he had who have been able to get back out there and play in a consistent basis. So is this just the way it is with Kemba?
No, I wouldn't say that. But we're just doing what we think is right to have Kemba for this a sustained period of time.
But at what time, Smith, do you sound the alarm? Because you're slipping in the – I mean, you're in seventh right now, I believe, as of this morning. And you continue to slip. At what point do you say, all right, we got to get Kemba to play more minutes because he obviously is extremely important to this team. Like, when do you sound the alarm and start trusting that he can play these back-to-backs?
I think that's a fair question, and I don't have an answer for you. We haven't addressed that yet. I know it's not a time to panic. It's time to do what's best for the players and the long-term benefits of the players, always. But there is a time to try to step and play, through what the medical staff thinks you shouldn't do. But I'm not ready to make that decision yet. I think that Kemba's been playing well, and he's been looking fresh for the most part this year, and I'm excited about how he's played. I'm sure I need to change that.
It's kind of weird, too. You know, Aaron Nesmith, I think we all got excited when he was drafted on this team. I mean, the promise of a big-time shooter, somebody that I know that you've wanted on the team for a while, a consistent three-point guy. Why is he not playing? He was the only one on the 15-man roster who didn't get any time last night. Why are we not seeing him on the floor more, especially seeing that he was, such a valuable draft pick this year?
I thought he gave us some good minutes, too. Again, there was another guy that stood out to us in a rough patch, and he got an opportunity to play. He was playing well in practice, and Brad stuck him in there, and he also was a player, not having the same impact as Rob Williams, of course, but was bringing that energy and intensity to the game on defensive end. And I thought that he was looking like a very promising prospect and a guy that, gave us great effort and great energy night in and night out. And we haven't seen him play for a while. And maybe we'll see him here in the second half of the season.
Why? Why have we not seen him? Because I agree with you. When he was in there, I was shocked at how well he played defensively. He got some good minutes. And he's a guy that, in a normal position, Danny, is you would think that someone who was the first pick in the first round, on most teams would get much more playing time than Nesmith has lately. He seems to be healthy now. Why is he not getting more time on the court?
Yeah, I think that Brad is just choosing to play. Our team has other weaknesses as well, and he's choosing. We don't want Jalen and Jason dribbling the ball up the court all the time and wearing themselves out. Just having such an offensive burden. So Aaron's not the ball handler and playmaker that Peyton Pritchard are and Jeff Teague are, and so he's choosing to play ball handlers and guys that can get in the paint and try to create and break down the defense as opposed to the non-ball handlers on the team with Jalen and Jason.
All right, so Danny, if you don't make a move at the trade deadline, and by the way, I'm starting to shift my philosophy as to whether I would want that to happen. If you don't make a move at the trade deadline, what would you want to say to the fans as to why you didn't?
Well, we'll address that next week and just see what happens and see what opportunities come on. This is the week where the heat gets turned up. The people that want to make deals get a little bit more serious about deals, and we'll see. And I think that that's probably a conversation we should put off till next week.
Are the phones ringing?
The phones have been ringing for the last few weeks, but I think it'll pick up this week.
Okay. Let's deal with the positive here. And you mentioned Robert Williams, and I mean, I just... Fred said it best. Last night, it was apparent that that dude just cares. And sometimes, unfortunately, with all the talent that's on this team, you know, you see a little bit of indifference, you know, especially on the defensive side. But Robert Williams is going all out. I mean, he's one of the more athletic big men that this team has had in a long time. Why not give him more minutes? I know that, I mean, he's, once again, he seems healthy as well, though I didn't like that fall too much yesterday. Why not give him more minutes out there, Danny?
We're just, you know, Robert has had health issues over the last couple of years, and we're just trying to build him up, build up the minutes. And last night was the most minutes I think he'd played in his career. And, you know, so we're trying to be selective. Like, it's, we're listening to our medical staff, our training staff. He's put in a lot of time to on his body and to get himself healthy and in the condition to do it. I mean, I'm very excited just because not only is he healthy, but he looks conditioned enough to play with that intensity for every minute he's on the court. And that's really encouraging and refreshing. And, you know, there's a difference between playing, like pretty much every player can go out and play 20 minutes, but to play like he plays for 20 minutes is not very easy to do. So anyway, we're just trying to build it up, build up the stamina in his body and in his legs and in his conditioning, and to play that hard for that long is, night in and night out, has been very impressive this year.
Are you scared that Brad Stevens got interested in that Indiana job when it came up available?
No, Brad is, you know, hey, like, as you guys know, we just signed Brad to a contract extension and last year, and I think he's going to be a Celtic coach for a while.
Those Hicks always want to go back. The Hicks always,
no,
they want to leave.
I disagree. I think it's the other way around. I think that the guys that have been in the NBA that go back to college that want to come back to the NBA. I hear that from those coaches all the time.
Yeah, you know, I guess you don't have to deal with the alumni and things of that nature. So should I buy this yearbook, Danny, your sophomore yearbook, $2.99?
I would have no idea why you would.
All right, well, it's out there. I'm just letting you know. All right, Danny Ainge, BYU Michigan State could be happening on Saturday. So look out for that. Do you follow BYU still? Do you
I do, yeah.
Pay attention?
Yeah, I follow BYU and Michigan State, sure. That should it should be a very fair game. Yeah, but I mean, I like Michigan State. I'm a big Tom Izzo guy. They're a big time program, and so they're one of my favorite teams to watch in the college season. But, yeah, I watch BYU as well.
All right. Who do you like in that game if they play? If they play. There's a play-in game, obviously.
Yeah, I think BYU is a better team this year, which would be a rare year. Michigan State has been a little bit down this year. But, you know, Michigan State is such a good tournament team and – year in and year out, and they are very tough. So it should be a good game.
Do you remember Wayne Reif?
What?
Yeah, sure. You're looking at my high school yearbook.
Yeah, do you remember pitching pennies with Wayne Reif? Hey, Grease Mutt. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, no, I can't believe. Now you're seeing the value in that, huh?
Okay.
I'm buying this yearbook.
This was for $89.99. I wouldn't turn my back on Val Sturza. I mean, listen. Open affection with Val Sturza, Grease Mutt. Look at that. And you guys went to the Brady Bunch house?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Yes, you did. All this. You were at the Brady Bunch house. Your junior year high school.
Interesting.
How do you not remember going to the Brady Bunch house if you ever went to the Brady Bunch house?
I don't remember that. No.
Okay. Do you remember Val Sturza?
I do remember Val. Val married. She was a cheerleader on our team. I went to middle school with her and high school. And
you dated.
She married my. And yeah, we dated, and she married my best friend.
Not Wayne Reif, though.
Not Wayne Reif, no.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Well, I'm glad buy that book, Fred. We can have fun with this for a while.
They were pitching pennies in the. Listen. That's fun. He was fond of a sweater vest, like a V-neck sweater. But look at you. I mean, you were the captain of the team. I mean, you were all over the place. All right, Danny Ainge, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you after the trade deadline. All the best this week going forward.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy. Yeah.
Week ahead of a man. This could be. As I said,
he's not pitching pennies with Wayne Reif weekend.
No, he is not.
Who's is this? Just someone who went to school with Danny Ainge, and they're selling their yearbook.
I have no idea.
Did somebody somehow get Danny Ainge's yearbook?
Well, I mean, he probably went to a school. I mean, he was in Utah. There's probably 5 billion people at his school.
No, but what I mean is that Danny Ainge's yearbook that somebody
No,
that would be fun to read the stuff that's written in it. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one's for $89.90. The funny thing is, he has the same outfit on junior and senior year, or junior and sophomore year. The junior yearbook is going for $89.99. Sophomore yearbook going for $249.99.
Interesting.
But they're at the Brady Bunch house.
Yeah, Danny grew up in Oregon, right?
Yeah, but they're at the Brady Bunch house.
Oregon, not Utah. Just look like Brady Bunch houses.
Why would it be in the yearbook? There's two pictures of it. I mean, why would they have taken a picture?
Yeah. I would have remembered if I had gone to the Brady Bunch house.
Somebody just suggested we track down Wayne Reif and have him call into the show next week.
What's that?
Somebody suggested we track down Wayne Reif and have him call into the show next week.
Well, let's do it. All right. Well, that's what I'm doing during the interview. All right. I'll tell you this. We are supposed to be joined by Jake DeBrusk. We'll see. That's going to happen in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now.
They get you going. They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, we usually have the sounder, Fred, because we have yet another Patriots signing. That is not the case for this. We have a Patriots retirement. Patrick Chung has announced his retirement on Instagram this morning. You remember he opted out of last season, opted back into this coming season, but is now retired this morning.
Like Patrick Chung, but that's one less boogeyman. Unfortunately, there just wasn't enough room for all of
them. It's unfortunate.
I mean, he was probably just intimidated by the video. He didn't know if he could live up to that, to the high standard that is...
I'm back. Let's get it.
Thank God Patrick Chung waited until Sarge of the NFL, Kyle Van Noy, announced his return. Maybe, I hope he doesn't feel like he's not getting enough credit, Patrick Chung, because everyone's still got Calvin Noy return fever.
I love Patrick Chung. Like, when we used to have him on, I thought he was a great interview. He's a guy that, hey, now that he's not on the team anymore, maybe next season we, you know, get him on regularly.
There you go.
I thought he's a good guy. I mean, obviously, this stinks, but...
This is why they signed Jalen Mills.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, the writing did kind of seem to be on the wall, but good for him. It was a good career, you know?
It's very sad. The boogeyman. The boogeyman. I mean, now there's only one boogeyman.
Dude,
you guys
jumped onto Hightower?
No, Hightower wasn't no part of that. So
was,
I'm saying,
was it the whole defense or was it just the linebackers?
I thought it was just the linebackers.
No, I thought it was the D because, you know, there was the McCourties. Well, listen, there's really only one guy who talked about the boogeyman and pushed the merch. That would, of course, be Kyle Van Noy.
Well, he owns the copyright to the boogeyman.
But if I'm not mistaken, the boogeyman T-shirt where it has, you know, all of the different players as, you know, Freddy Krueger and Jason and all those other famous movie boogeymen. I think it was everyone from the defense, I believe. I think it was most of them. So
well, they all got a, they all jumped on board. I mean, you couldn't avoid it. It did take over the state. I mean, who can forget that 2019 Patriots team?
It was boogie fever.
I mean, it really was. I mean, of all the Patriots teams, I mean, you really have to just point at 2019 as being the season of the craziness. All right, I have a feeling DeBrusque is not going to join us.
You don't think so?
No.
I just think as superstitious as he is, he's going to call in.
I don't. I think that it's a open and shut case. He's on the COVID thing.
No, he's back. He was back the last
game.
Yeah,
he played the last game.
Oh, he played the last game. That's
He was only out for one game on the COVID thing, and I think that was just contact tracing, right?
Yeah, that was contact tracing. I forgot that he was back last game. Could I have missed him?
So he was back. I mean, but he's had an interesting couple of weeks. I mean, he obviously had been going through that drought. He was a healthy scratch. He got called out.
Flew to Shenzhou has given the grades of your Boston Bruins, and he gives Jake DeBrusque a D, along with Sean Corrali and Chris Wagner, the only one with a lower grade, at D-.
Mm-hmm. Well, DeBrusque would be the first to admit that that's right. I mean, you heard him after that first game back where he went nuts. And he looked great, and it wasn't just because he scored. I mean, he played with more aggression than I've seen him play in a while. And he admitted that he took it personal. You know, when his effort was questioned by Bruce Cassidy, who we all know is probably one of the more fair, you know, guy. He's very fair in his assessment of players, but he's honest. And to hear your coach say that and to get become a healthy scratch, you know, that he'd be the first to admit that he probably deserved a D up to this point.
Yeah. So here's the deal with this team. By the way, McAvoy with an A+, and then Marchand, Pastrnak, and Bergeron all with A or A-. Frederick with a B+.
Frederick's been great. Yep.
Miller, Zaboral, all with B+.
But where'd he land? Because he's been pretty good too.
No,
a B-.
He wasn't. He hasn't been great lately. He was great at the beginning. He's very nice to Krejci, giving him a C+. But when I look at this team, this Bruins team, I think that you can kind of have it both ways. I think if you go all in this year, push everything to the middle of the table, I don't think Tuukka Rask necessarily is your goaltender next year. So if, say, you lose Tuukka Rask's salary and you lose Krejci's salary, you've freed up a lot of money.
You're putting a lot of faith in these unproven goalies that people are saying are very good.
You have to at some point
know just how good this guy is at the NHL level.
One at a time, though. I think throwing them out there and saying, okay, you guys are it immediately.
Then keep Halak at $1 million, and then have him back up one of the kids. You have
to
at some
point. Or have one of the kids back up Tuukka.
No, because, well, that's not the problem. Halak isn't your financial problem. Because if you lose Tuukka and Krejci's contract, and they will lose Krejci's contract.
That's over four, it's almost $15 million.
So my point is, if you go all in this season, that frees up a ton of money to play with next year.
But Tuukka's going to be money well spent. Like that's the kind of guy you spend money on.
I don't know. At some point, you got to make your decision.
But if you are going to go for a Stanley Cup,
yes.
I having a rookie play major minutes in goal.
Well, that's why I would go. That's why I say you can have it both ways. Is that you can go all in this year for the Cup, and then next year you start playing these kids, and and then you see where you are. I mean, look at who's performed well in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, a lot of times it's goaltenders that you wouldn't expect. And there has to be a point. I mean, there has to be a point where you get younger at these positions that are making a ton of money. And, you know, the goaltender is one of those positions. And Tuukka Rask is good, but I don't
think he's been very good this year.
He's been good
the top 10 goalie in this league.
He's a little above average goalie this year in the league. He hasn't been great. He's got half of his defensemen injured
and not playing.
I didn't say he's bad. But I don't think that he's someone that you have to keep around. I'm telling you, if you can free up $14 million, I mean, you have a lot of issues with this team. You have your one place of strength, your one place of young talent. Young, good strength at a professional level that has not gone into the NHL yet is a goaltender.
But you're saying it. They haven't played at the NHL level.
I know,
yet.
But
so
they
to
have
get rid
no.
Of a guy
but,
like Tuukka,
okay, but they have no one on the second, third, or fourth line. So I'd rather take my chances with a young goaltender and improve, you know, three-fourths of my offense that's invisible. Than I would riding with Rask and staying with the same crap that I have now.
Well, I mean, you'd hope that they would improve that second line and get some sort of scoring anyway and be able to keep Rask, which they still can do.
Unfortunately, when you're a professional sports franchise, you have to make decisions to get younger. And, you know, with Tuukka Rask's deal expiring and you having a point of strength with your young goaltending, that's a place where I might look to get younger and free up some money so I can actually improve my defense and improve my my offensive production, because I have three lines that are absolutely invisible. And that's going to be something. You can't keep guys around forever and let someone else to pay Tuukka Rask on the backside of his career. All right, so we have to break. When we come back, Rich, what will we have in the stack?
Well, hopefully we'll have Jake DeBrus.
We're not going to have Jake DeBrus. I told you at 6 o'clock we weren't going to have Jake DeBrus.
But if not, the best comedy films since the year 2000, Fred.
Oh, okay. Well, it's obviously not going to be the one with Spade and Laura Lapkus.
Maybe
all right, we'll be back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, Solak and Bertrand.
I like this.
Right now.
This to me is fun.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Which is happening right at this moment.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
People either hating me or liking me.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Tusher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, you were right, Fred. No Jake DeBrus.
That was
disappointing. A little disappointed in that. Thought maybe that he would want to, you know, get the TNR bump. God knows he could use it.
I think no one cares about the TNR bump but TNR.
I don't think that's true. That's not true at all. When it means Jake DeBrus actually scores, I think people want to see him obviously get at, back up and running. They want to see some secondary scoring on this team. That would be nice. Everyone's got magical thinking.
They believe all that matters is that Jake DeBrus does.
I mean, Jake DeBrus is wearing hats that he's afraid to take off during playoff runs. Yeah. He's changing his stick three times a game. That's all that matters is whether or not in his head he feels like he's done the right things with the universe in order to go out and score.
I have a feeling we might not get Jake DeBrus again, but we'll see.
Well, hopefully he starts playing well enough to where he would feel confident.
I have a feeling he's not going to be on this team. To be honest with you.
Trade deadline type thing?
I would say, yeah. I'd say there's about an 85% chance he's not on this team. So,
it's a tough trade to make, though. I mean, you know, nope. I don't know. That's the definition of selling low.
You would get another guy who's young and low and at a position that you feel they would fit in. It's going to take some maneuvering. Or it could be a young piece that they feel hasn't reaches potential that you could throw into a trade to get a big piece. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jake DeBrus still has value in this league, and he's not making a ton of money. So
that he is not. Nope, he's got a kind of an approve-it deal, you know, right now.
Yeah, so
bridge deal.
If I had to make a wager, I would say the money is squarely on us not having him on again.
Okay.
But we'll see. I hope I'm wrong.
All right. I've got a short list of guys I'd want to talk to.
Well, I would say nobody at that point. I mean, Marchand, but I think he gets paid somewhere else.
No, no, no. I know of a guy. I don't want to say it, though.
Because some
of the teams can swoop it and get it. All right. Rolling Stone has come out with the 50 greatest comedies of the 21st century. That, of course, for people who are dumb like me and had to double check, that is since the year 2000. And these are all movies. I'll go ahead and just come out and say this. Some of the stuff that's on this list is dumb and should not be either
grown
on this list or in the top 10 at all. So would you like to first, in your opinion, Fred, what is the greatest comedy since the year 2000?
New Year's Eve. One of the Gary Marshall's trilogy of holiday films.
Eve. That movie sucked. I actually saw that.
Reason I know it is because I was reading Roger Ebert's 0 to 1 star reviews. He only did a handful of them, and New Year's Eve was one of them.
That sucked. Okay, in my opinion, the best comedy since 2000 is sitting at number 4, and that is Step Brothers. To me, I can watch that movie 1,000 times and still find something new.
Will Ferrell's got to be all over this list.
Was
right?
Anchorman, was that in the 2000s?
Yeah. Yes.
Anchorman's my favorite comedy of all time.
All right, Anchorman comes in hot at number 12, Fred. So that's
they say there's 12 movies.
Good.
Well, I put Anchorman and Anchorman 2 in the top 5.
Okay, I also my second favorite comedy, and it might even be my first. It's my second because Anchorman or Step Brothers is the best. Is Team America: World Police that comes in at number 29 on this list? John Wallach, what was your favorite comedy?
Sorry, Zolak just showed up.
Fever Pitch.
He says hi. No. Pineapple Express.
Really? Oof, that was one of your favorites?
That's out of nowhere.
I like Pineapple Express.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, it's there.
Get out of here, man. Leave that alone.
Not in the top 50 on this
really?
List.
Really?
No,
I like
that's not
going to
be in the top. But I bet you Superbad is.
Oh, Superbad gets so much. I thought Superbad was just fine.
It was fine, too. I didn't think it was great, but I bet you it's on that list.
Number 28. It's number 28 in the list. It's been higher in a lot of lists. People love
There's
Superbad.
Not. You know what's it's interesting? There's not a lot of comedies. They just don't make a ton of them that aren't like family comedies. They don't make a lot of R comedies, so it's very difficult to say.
Borat comes in at number 21. I know you loved that movie, Fred.
Borat's brilliant. I mean, the idea that it's so much better than the second one, and the second one's got like Oscar buzz.
The second one had like two scenes that I was cackling, like dying. It wasn't the Rudy Giuliani thing. There's two scenes in that movie where I lost it. It was so over the top.
Yeah, the scene where they're in the hotel in the first Borat one with the cockroaches, if you're not doubled over laughing at that, then you have something severely wrong with you.
All right, because we're running out of time. I'll quickly run through the top 20. The Grand Budapest Hotel at number 20. I'm not a Wes Anderson guy, but that movie was very good.
I'm sure it was very funny.
Number 19,
it was super funny.
Yeah, number 19, Mean Girls. Number 18, Tropic Thunder. The fake ads at the beginning of Tropic Thunder are fantastic.
Tropic Thunder is not a funny movie. I watched it recently. The beginning is, and then it's not.
The beginning's great. Yeah, the beginning's great.
And then it's not. No, because it sucks.
Number 17, very good. What We Do in the Shadows. Love that movie.
Never saw it.
Number 16, Lady Bird. I never got to see that one. Number 15, I love A Serious Man. That's a Coen Brothers movie. That movie is fantastic.
But I didn't know that was a comedy. Okay. I liked it too, but I didn't know it was a comedy.
Kind of border. Number 14, a little bit overrated. I love this director. Everybody Wants Some. It's kind of the sequel to
that movie. That movie is not good. That is insisting on him, and I like the director too. I saw that in the movie theater.
Linklater, yeah.
And before I had to stop drinking for this time, I never went to the movies, and I deliberately went and saw that in a movie. That's not a good movie.
And I love Dazed and Confused, but it was fine. 13, The Death of Stalin. Never even heard of it. Number 12, Anchorman. Number 11, In Bruges, which I have not seen. I heard it's
good.
That's
a good movie.
Number 10, State and Maine. That's a weird movie with Alec Baldwin. That's at number 10.
Someone's being fancy.
Yeah. Number 9, The 40-Year-Old Virgin. That's a pretty good movie. Number 8, Shaun of the Dead. Love that movie. But I prefer Hot Fuzz.
I can't stand those guys. Those,
oh,
those
are, dude, Hot Fuzz is awesome.
I don't get the references. They're like science fiction nerds. They're Monty Python dudes.
And then there was the World's End one where they're all at the bar. Tony Erdman comes at number 7. I don't know what that is. Punch Drunk Love at number 6. That's not a comedy.
Hated that.
No,
movie.
That's not a comedy.
That was awful.
No.
That's not a comedy.
No,
you might like the movie, but it's not a comedy. It's like A Serious Man. Like, That, yep. I don't think the Coen brothers would go, yeah, that's a, like, go and share some laughs. I think they'll go, there's funny parts.
Five,
you don't
Idiocracy.
Have to rush. We're not on an award show. Idiocracy's not a good movie. All right, continue.
Four, Step Brothers. Number three, Bridesmaids. Great movie.
That's a great
number
movie.
Two, In the Loop with James Gandolfini.
Really?
What? Never even heard of it. Jesus. What is that? And coming in at number one.
You don't know In the Loop? You're obviously out of the loop.
The greatest comedy of the 21st century, as dictated by Rolling Stone, Best in Show. That's a great movie. That's a good one.
Well, it's got a great, great character. I mean, Fred Willard in that is perfect.
Oh, the woman who's the kind of larger woman who's always funny in the stuff. I want to eat a hot dog.
Stifler's mom?
Bad. Yes, oh, yeah. She's great in that. Eugene Levy
only,
was funny in that.
Only to be referred as Stifler's mom.
Yes.
Is Eugene Levy not given a lot to do other than have funny glasses on? But if you give me Fred Willard in that, I will take it every
great.
Time. All right. That'll do it for us. Tomorrow, Bert Breer on and so much more. That'll do it for us. Have a great day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.